I know we all sing so good. It's just amazing, isn't it?
No, amazing. Yeah, that's the word for it.
Excuse me?
Being funny. I said amazing. Yeah, that's the word for it.
Hey, did you hear this, everybody? You want Hunter to say it again? Did everybody hear it? Bill, did you hear it?
I didn't
hear it. Amazing. That's the word for us.
You didn't recognize it?
Pardon me?
You didn't recognize it?
Amazing.
Oh, everybody remember that. Leslie, when you take me home tonight, remember that, would you? You know, when we talk from up here, we're not trained speakers, as most of you already know by now. We talk from our heart. Our ministers in this church are not trained to be ministers. God trains us. Love is the key. We don't get up here and say this because then people will think that. Or we don't get up here and do this because people think that. We're not out to control anybody in any way, shape, or form. When we talk here on Sunday as well as this Wednesday night, we're all just talking from our hearts and sharing things that we've found out that feel true to us. Because we want so much to just be enjoying this tremendous life that God has given us here on this earth, where love just flows. When Barbara's playing that piano, it's love that comes through her fingertips. That's what our little spiritual family is all about. It's love, isn't it, honey? You felt it when you walked in here, didn't you? I saw that. You know, our little speaker tonight that's going to talk here with us this evening is going to share from her heart what seems right to her. But it behooves every one of us, no matter where you are, even if you're in Grand Central Station, run things through your heart and see what feels right to you. Doesn't mean you have to set out to prove anybody wrong. You just always be walking your path to the best of your ability. And sharing yourself, sharing your heartfelt thoughts with others is what people do when they speak here at Sunday and Wednesday. And the young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, she's nothing but a bowl of love. Super intelligent, overflowing with love. Now to me, I can't judge, but for me, that's a very spiritual little person that we get to share the thoughts with tonight. She works full-time with huge responsibility with the airlines. And she's a mama of two beautiful daughters and a hubby that loves her very much. That's what you call a full-time, full-day job. Wouldn't you say that? Now, by now, I bet everyone knows who I'm talking about. It's our Jody, our angel Jody.
Thank you.
Woo. She kicked me.
Yeah, or she tripped me. Believe Millie, she would never, ever bend the truth. Thank you for that introduction, because that kind of sums it up of why I'm not here every week. So I set my priorities, but it is always an honor and a privilege to come here and talk. And anytime that there's a room full of people who are willing to listen to what I have to say, I'm there. So I'm really glad to be here, and thank you for coming today. It's interesting what she said, what Millie said too, like, you know, standing up here telling you what to do or trying to control you. I'm so not going to do that tonight. I don't like telling people what to do, because I don't like being told what to do. My whole life, I remember my dad would...
There's a speaker turned on.
I can feel it.
Hello.
Yeah. My dad would say something that I couldn't do, and it would make me so mad I would go and do it. And it didn't always wasn't always a good end. I like to make up my own mind, and so I hope you guys make up your own mind too. And yeah, it's true. I'm just going to share from my heart. And the thing that I like to share is, boy, this seems like it's up close. The thing I like to share is my walk, because I think that by me sharing about myself, I know I feel better when I know I'm not alone in something. And sometimes just for have somebody talk about their life and what's going on in their life, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm normal. Whew. You know, so hopefully you'll get some normalcy, but I'm not entirely normal either. So yay for that. Let's see. So I wanted to say that when I was about 13 years old, my Nana, my mom's mom, got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she had come to live with us, and we were living in Hamul. And we had been moved away from what we knew. We had lived in La Mesa, and Hamul seemed like a world away. I mean, it's only 10 miles, but it seemed like forever when you're a little kid, you know? And so it was weird having my grandma come there to die, basically. And at that time, I didn't really understand death, you know? So, interesting experience that was. And I didn't ask a lot of questions, and there wasn't a lot of information passed around. There wasn't a lot of communication, you know. So it's kind of just a little bit of a, it felt like walking through it blind, you know, and looking back. So there was this conversation that my Nana had taken me to the general store and bought me a popsicle, and on the way home, she was giving me a talk, and I'm pretty sure it was the talk that she was wanting to give me before she passed, and I didn't understand it at the time, you know, so I was like, oh, is she going on? You know how you do when you're a kid. I forgive myself for that, but I wish that I would have listened, because I'm sure she told me a lot of amazing stuff at the time, and I'm sure my soul heard it. But the one thing I remember her saying was, you're not a follower. You're a leader. I know you're a leader. I know you're not a follower. And kind of that. And at the time, I was running wild. We kind of ran wild as kids anyway. So, you know, there was very much potential for me to be a follower. So I don't like the word leader at all. I don't know why it makes me uncomfortable. Just like the word challenge makes me uncomfortable, you know. I prefer opportunity. And instead of leader, I prefer example, you know, or a beacon, a light, a guide, I don't know, somebody who has been there so they can show you the way. Because, I mean, the thing that irks me the most, and I'm guilty of this, is knowing something and not sharing it, and then somebody else has to find their own way, even though you could have helped them. And that bothers me that I've done that before. So it's really amazing to learn a new way of doing things in my life. And Millie talks about spiritual growth as being slow and deliberate, like the unfolding of a lotus flower. And I really like that, slow and deliberate. And isn't that just our lives, day to day? Every day, slow and deliberate, slower when you're young and you're waiting for things to happen, like driver's license and turning 21 so you could drink or gamble or whatever. And so I remember it took forever to get to Christmas. Ugh, Christmas is December 25th. It's only October 28th. It was forever. So time has a different, you know. But here's this unfolding that happens. And the way in spiritualism we talk about our lives, you know, we pick our circumstances, we pick our parents, we pick the adversity that we need that we wanted for our soul's growth to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this lifetime. And you don't notice that until you start to get older, and then you start looking back and going, hey, wait a minute. So that moment with my Nana has over the years meant more and more, and dissecting it of what does it really mean for me, and what was she really what was she really trying to say to me? And so I grew up not asking a lot of questions. And I don't think that there was a lot of information offered. And I don't know if it was just because, you know, like, well, nobody gave me information, so why do I need to give information, you know? Or not, you know, for whatever reason. It is what it is, right? You pick your parents, you get what you picked, and they gave you what you needed, your foundation. So, but the interesting part was that, you know, I didn't ask a lot of questions. And when somebody would ask me, you know, starting to go to the spiritual development classes and working with the mediumship and these gifts from God, you know, did you know that you had an ability? Did you see things when you were young? And I'd be like, no, I had nothing. But the one thing that I do remember is people telling me stuff and then me seeing a completely different story in my head. And I don't think it was all the time, but I think that it just stands out the times that I was like, wait a minute, they're telling me something, but I'm seeing something completely different. And I think that might have been the beginnings of the intuitiveness. But what didn't happen for me at those times was I didn't ask more questions. I didn't know I was allowed to ask questions. I didn't know I was allowed to be curious. I don't know, maybe I never saw, there was never an example in my life of somebody who was curious and asked questions. So there's a hero that I have, somebody at work that I met the first day I came into the FAA, and she, I know her today, and she is so good at asking questions. And I just admire her because I watched her, I helped her with an interview panel for them picking for a job, and something happened with some of the paperwork was a little bit off, and we were like, who really wrote this, you know? And so she went, and she kind of knew enough about the information she was looking at to go around to the right people to ask questions. She had listened, she had asked these questions, but the way she was asking them, it was like she was just having a conversation with them. And it's not like she was being malicious, it's just that, you know, the art of asking questions was what I admired so much in her. So the interesting part is that, so this last, like, 2 years, since 2012, since December 2012, so 2013, 2014, a little bit of 2015, has been this massive unfolding for me, a completely new and different unfolding for me. And I've talked a little bit about it before, going through the therapy for myself for childhood PTSD to, you know, deal with some of the traumas that happen. Everybody's got something, right? Something happens to everybody. So we just have to learn to know what our triggers are and be able to cope with ourselves, right? And finding that space within ourselves where we're still whole and complete despite what could have happened to us, right? So I did all that work, and then all this other stuff started unfolding. That's been building this leader, but for me, it's more of somebody who just wants to share. I just want to share what I've learned. And so I did communication classes with my family, and I then got invite. Oh, then at work, I work for the FAA, and there's all these regulations we have to pass and stuff. So we got audited, and it didn't go so good. And so they put us under a corrective action plan, and part of it was that management didn't communicate well and they needed better communication. So we got to go to a class called The Speed of Trust, and it was a really cool class about how to build trust, how to build relationships. And there was a couple of things on the card. There was one card in particular that I thought was really interesting. So the part where, okay, one of the things they talked about was listen first. So they had all these little tenets of all the, there's like 13 ways that you build trust, or that you, cores of trust and all this kind of stuff. But there was a couple of them that I really liked that I wanted to share. So one was listen first. And this was cool because it's kind of the prayer of St. Francis. Listen before you speak. Understand. Diagnose. Listen with your ears and your eyes and your heart. Find out what the most important behaviors are to the people that are around you or that you care about. Don't assume that you know what matters most to others. Don't presume you have all the answers or all the questions. So this goes back to, you know, like making sure you hurt somebody. And that was something that never happened for me, right? I mean, I never clarified. I never got, you know, sought more information. So what to say when you're listening, what I hear you saying is, so, and this is cool. This is some of the stuff that I learned that's really working really good. What I hear you saying is, so you're in a conversation with someone and people just want to be heard. There's complaints, equal opportunity complaints, work complaints, grievances, all these complaints. But the crux of every single one of them is that somebody wants to be heard and they don't feel listened to. So one of the best gifts that you can give someone is help them feel like they've been heard. And one of the best ways to do that is to say, what I hear you saying is. And then you reflect back to them. Your values are this. You're feeling hurt. You're feeling sad. You know? I really feel that from you, and I'm sorry, you know, or empathy, right? Let me make sure I understand what you're trying to say. So you're having a conversation with someone, maybe they're trying to tell you something, and you want to make sure you hear them clearly. Okay, you're asking me to put the toilet seat down. Let me understand what I think you're trying to say. Fun example. Let's see. Is there anything you've that you've liked to add to what I said, or did I get that right? You know, great way. So the kinds of things that I was hungry for, I think my whole life is to be heard, but I'm practicing listening. And then let's see, confront reality. Oh, this is great. Take issues head on. This is the elephant in the room. Anybody have the elephant in the room situations? I know we're coming up on Thanksgiving. There's great opportunities for elephants in the room. Take issues head on, even the undiscussables. Acknowledge the unsaid. Address the tough stuff directly. Confront issues before they turn into major problems. Lead out courageously in conversation. Confront the reality, not the person. Don't skirt the real issues. Don't bury your head in the sand. And the opposite of that is to ignore it or pretend like it doesn't exist. And we do that a lot as humans. So here's some great things to say. Let's get real. What are you not saying that needs to be said? I don't think we're talking about what needs to be talked about, which is blah, blah, blah. What are the facts of the situation? What will happen if we don't face this issue head on? We're adults. We can handle this.
Sometimes.
Talk to me straight. What is the undiscussable here? And this is great because you, when you're communicating with someone, you don't want to put them on the defensive. You use I language. So you don't say, you did this to me and you hurt my feelings. I feel hurt. You know, I didn't like it. I didn't feel good when, right? So it says, when you do this, the impact on me is this. And let's see. So that's about it for that. So that was really cool because I go to this class and I'm learning all these great little communication skills, and we're supposed to do them at work, but then there's a component of it that goes over to, I'm looking at the clock, goes over to home life. Then I went to, I got the opportunity at this class, the Speed of Trust class. I said to the lady who was teaching it, I want to go work in your department. And then my bosses were in the room, and they're like, get a room, you know, for your woman romance, your womance. And, but she, I said, then she mentioned she was a conflict coach. So there's a conflict coach program at my work. And I said, oh, I really want to sign up for that. I need to call that guy. And I said that to her. And that the next day when I got to work, there was a message on my machine that said, hey, we have a last minute cancellation in the conflict coach training class. So-and-so said you were interested. You want to go? yes, I go, I will go. So I in the last 30 days, I've gone to Bellingham to visit Rita Gray, who's a dear, dear member of this church, but lives in Washington State. I went to Denver for the conflict coach training. I went to Las Vegas for a convention, and then I helped throw a birthday bash for my 21-year-old. So it's been a busy 30 days. But the conflict coach training was amazing to me. So this is the I think what I was born to do. And my as I'm talking about this, I will tell you that I am absolutely willing and available to practice. I'd love to practice. I don't have a certificate. You know, I don't charge money, so get it while it's free, okay? So, okay, conflict coaching. It's one-on-one, and it's what the design is at work is for somebody who's having a conflict, and usually it's before a complaint gets filed, right? And you want them to do the conflict coaching so they can kind of get clear in their head where they are and how they feel and what do they need. And that was big for me when I went through the therapy. How do I feel and what do I need? What? I never thought of that. You know, I'm allowed to know how I feel. Ah, okay. So in this conflict coaching, as the coach, you do not tell people what to do. It's forbidden. So not going to be controlled. It's all about the conflict coach being available to listen and to reflect back what they've heard, to reflect back the values that they've heard from you, to reflect back what's important to you, and then help you discover what your options are. And the hardest thing to do was not lead someone into what you thought the problem solved. I've got your problem solved. I got this. And it was the hardest thing to do is to not like even lead them. Well, what about this? Have you thought about that? You couldn't do any of that in this class. And the class was like one day of instruction and then 2 days of group sessions, actually learning by going through this. And we all brought our little problems and we all talked about our little problems and coached each other, you know. And the first part of the conflict coaching is talking about what's important to you and how you feel and helping you find out what you need. And the second part is, what do you think your options are? You know, what's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? For this option, what's the worst and best? For this option, what's the worst and best? Okay, play this out, you know? And then reflecting back throughout the process. Okay, but you said, let me reflect back to you what your values were. Let me reflect back to you what you said you needed. And I remember that. And I had the opportunity to work on this with somebody from this church. And she was trying to make a decision about what she should do. And she's from Brazil. She was trying to figure out what her options were with her visa and whether it should be a student visa or a visitor visa or whether she should go back to Brazil. And, you know, we sat and talked. And after 2 hours of us talking about options and talking about what was important to her, I said, so what do you think your options are? You know, and she said, actually, I'm realizing it's not even my decision to make. Immigration's going to be the one that decides. All I have to do is decide what kind of visa I'm going to apply for, and I've already stated in my values that I want to go to school. So I'm going to do the student visa. But whether I stay here or not isn't my choice. It's up to immigration. And we were like, ah, but you bring the spiritual component into it. It's up to God through the immigration office, you know? So I have no doubts whatsoever that her student visa is going to get approved. And if it doesn't, she knows what her options are when she goes back to Brazil. She's got a whole plan. So it was really rewarding to participate in a process to help someone get clarity about what they needed. And I think maybe that's what my Nana was talking about all those years ago, is to help, just help. Ministry is totally individual, and so each one of us ministers is going to have a little different spin on what we do. But for me, I really feel like connecting on what kind of experiences that I've had with what you've been through, and if you feel connected to me and I feel connected to you, and it's different for every medium up here. There's a connection different. Right? So you're drawn to the person that you're drawn to. And so I really feel like part of my ministry is to really help people what better opportunity for a church to have is for somebody that is you could talk to, that's not going to be judgmental, that's going to be confidential, and that's going to help you solve your own problems. I mean, and what is the perfect for spiritualism, because it's all about self-responsibility. So that's my unfolding. I'm super excited to be practicing not just the mediumship, but now the ministry part of it, where we reach out and help the people in the congregation and the people in our forum groups. And so, again, the offer's out there if you guys are interested. I have jody@fscci.org. Send me an email. I'd love to practice. And thank you for your time. Thank you.